Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and I've got a very special guest today with me, Liz Hawage. From Liberty.me and a number of other places. But first of all, welcome aboard, Liz.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a little background of who you are. And, you know, I know you were in molecular biochemistry and a couple of other things, and you're at Simon Fraser University. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, like you said, I'm a student. I did my undergrad in biochemistry. I started to do my grad school in biochemistry as well, but I since decided to switch into chemistry. Science is my first love, but libertarianism is something that really pushes me forward. It has a bigger, I guess it has a bigger,
a bigger outreach, more of the things that you actually believe in.
Exactly.
That makes sense?
Like it reaches into different aspects of life. I mean, science is just one thing, but libertarianism, it stretches into like economics. It reaches into personal lives, everything. So that's why I'm here.
So what does libertarianism mean to you as far as you as a person, as a person that may accumulate some wealth, what you do? Tell me what it means to you and how you want to move forward with the movement.
Libertarianism to me is basically allowing others to do as they please as long as they don't hurt other people. I think that the paternalistic mindset of today's society is really holding people back. And so that's why I'm advocating for libertarianism through different avenues.
And like, so what are some of the avenues that you are trying to go through now? You know, and what are some of the movements that you're working on?
So the first organization I work with is Students for Liberty. I'm currently on the North American Executive Board. I oversee events and also the activists within Canada. I started off as a campus coordinator in their campus coordinator program, learning how to do activism on campus. So that comes to like tabling or organizing events and conferences. And I don't know where my train of thought was there.
Well, you know, so as you look at to what you're trying to do, you have to continue to work forward. And obviously, as a libertarian and someone who believes in it, you have some goals. What are the goals of the program, and what are your goals going forward?
So Students for Liberty, basically, they want to educate the youth on the ideas of libertarianism. So introducing them to Austrian economics, as well as the classical thinkers such as Hayek and Mises. Personally, my goals is to reach out to people who don't normally seek political news. So actually in Vancouver, I'm going to organize the first regional conference there, and I want it to be a business theme because it's a really big entrepreneurship scene in that city. And so I'm going to reach out to them in that way.
Okay, so as an entrepreneurship and being an entrepreneur, I do want to ask you one other question first. So it's something you brought up. You talked about Austrian economics, and obviously you're comparing Austrian to Keynesian, okay? So I have said on this show many times that, you know, I'm not a fan of Keynesian, but of course, you know, there isn't a perfect economic system, in my opinion, whether it be Austrian or whatever you want to name. But I'd like you to take a few seconds or a few minutes and tell me why you believe that Austrian economics is better than Keynesian, or why it's the best and why we should be on that system.
Well, first I want to address, it's not exactly Austrian versus Keynesian. There are other schools of thought, such as the Chicago School as well. But basically Austrian economics, at its core, it talks about how human action can't be quantified. It can't be perfectly measured. And so I think that most mainstream economics misses out on that. And that's why a lot of the systems that are in place today are so, flawed.
What makes them flawed? I mean, you have a great belief. You're very smart. You're very bright. So what makes one flawed over the other? And if you were to design the perfect economic system, what would it be?
Whoa, it's heavy. I don't know exactly if I can... I wouldn't be able to design anything, and neither can anyone else. And that's the whole point of why the Austrian school is so amazing. So, for example, if you're going to draw a curve of supply and demand and say that we need this many mics in Chicago, I mean, you can't really measure that. Maybe we need 5 mics in Chicago in 2005, but that will change, obviously, with supply and demand. But that can't really be measured unless you go down to the individual and ask them what they want.
Okay, so if you ask the individual what they want, but as we've seen in this country, that, you know, individuals, I don't think they know what they want, and certainly our current government in place has no idea what they're doing or what they want. So how do we make it better, and why is the libertarian way a better way?
Well, if the government doesn't know what they want, what makes them think that they know what other people want? Basically, just giving the power back to more local, like making power more localized, that will eliminate all of, the miscommunication.
Okay, but if we look at miscommunication, again, I'm trying to get at is there's a lot of different things, and of course, I believe in smaller government. I believe that we need to, the American people need to take over and come back to running the government, not being run by the few, because now we are basically run by the lobbyists and the constituents that sponsor and put big money to work. As we now see, Hillary Clinton is going to be able to raise over $2 billion to be elected to an office. And I think that the power needs to come back to the people, and the power needs to come within the form of smaller government. But is that what you're seeing as well, or what do you see?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't personally pay attention to the news or anything like that, but I do know it's wrong. Basically bringing power back to the people, that's where America was founded on those principles, right? So we're definitely far away from that now.
Okay, so when you're out educating, so what's your schedule, and how are you going to get students and the younger, the millennial people to believe in what you believe in?
I'm not exactly trying to get them to believe what I believe in. I just want them to be able to question whatever information they're receiving and be able to critically analyze it and make their own opinions. So I just came back from Washington, D.C., and then as well as the Vancouver Libertarian Party of Washington convention. Ben Swan was there. Who else? Rick Ross. They were all really inspirational. So I'm in Chicago now, and then my next stop will be in Grand Rapids. The Foundation for Economic Education is holding a seminar there for young students, teaching us how to communicate liberty in a more effective way. Yeah, I'm going basically across the country. It's going to be awesome. I have a blog that I post on every few days, so I highlight the different organizations that I'm interacting with and different students I'm working with. And did I already mention that I'm also working with students for liberty.me?
You did not, but we're going to come back after the break because we're going to get more out of you. And we're visiting with Liz Halaghi from Liberty.me, and also a very big advocate of the Libertarian Party. And we're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And make sure you check out thebubbashow.org to see what we're writing, because we're typically well ahead of the mainstream media, because we're faster and better at it, and we put the stories out as they happen and not as they become newsworthy. So check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with Liz right after the break.
Stay with me, man. Listen up.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Liz Halaghi from Liberty.me and a big advocate for the libertarian way. So, Liz, you were telling me a whole bunch of things in between breaks where we were doing playing the commercials, but now I want you to tell the audience about, I know that you're in office, and I know you've got a whole, your blog, give us the blog address, give us all the information, and I'm going to step aside and let you take over for a few minutes here. Go for it.
All right, the thing about running for office, I'm pretty skeptical about political action as a whole, but I'm going to do it anyway just because, first of all, Tim Owen, who's the leader of the Libertarian Party, he's a wonderful person, and even though I'm skeptical about political advocacy, it's a platform to be able to reach people I wouldn't otherwise have, so I'm giving that a go before I completely knock it down. As well, I'm working for Liberty.me. So all the conferences I'm going to, I'm giving students discount codes to use the website. So Liberty.me normally costs $5 a month to be able to use their platform. It has a bunch of resources there, so books, podcasts, access to the different blogs of the users there. It's a great community. There's no trolling. Like, you know, normally on Facebook, you get a bunch of people just, it's not a productive conversation, basically. And so people on Liberty.me tend to have a more direct kind of approach, which I really enjoy. So yeah, with my discount code, which is summer 2015, you get 3 months free. And then afterwards, you can decide whether you want to keep continuing on with the platform. And my blog address is liz.liberty.me. I post there every 4 or 5 days, I guess.
And that's really good. So, you know, now you said something very interesting, and I have a lot of respect for what you said back in the last segment. And I said that you were out, like, recruiting, and you said, no, I'm not recruiting. I'm trying to educate people, which to me is the best, because you want to educate people, and then let them make an educated decision versus you trying to convince them of what they should be. Would that be a correct statement?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what's best for everyone. And I mean, that's the whole, that's the core of libertarianism. And so as long as you're not hurting people, I'm all for it.
So, I mean, I think that's really cool that, you know, you're out educating. And what made you, okay, you're a college student, and what made you get interested in libertarianism, and what made you leave what we would call, I guess, the mainstream, right? I mean, I don't agree with the mainstream, but, you know, not everybody has the courage to leave it and go that way. How did you decide that you were going to move and go that way?
Well, we would have to go way back, and there are different aspects to it. So I guess the first would be my childhood, where my parents were very religious and traditional. I guess there's nothing wrong with that per se, but I just wanted to see different ways of living. I basically became an atheist after I started reading the Bible. Like, I have a Roman Catholic background. And then as well, a few months before 9/11, I actually was in the World Trade Center. It's funny because my mom, she didn't come with my dad and I. It was just us. And she said, oh, you know, it's fine. I can go next time. The buildings will always be there. It's a building. But sure enough, 3 months after, it was done. It was gone. And that was really scary for me as a child. I didn't really understand it fully at the time. So I started watching, like, YouTube videos, started researching stuff on the internet. And I stumbled upon a podcast called Free Domain Radio. And it was actually a podcast on procrastination. I was trying to be a good student. I was looking up stuff to how to not procrastinate as a high school student. And then that just snowballed into looking into Austrian economics and philosophy of anarchy, peaceful parenting, stuff like that. And then, yeah, here I am today.
That's awesome. And it sounds like a great road to really give yourself. And you know, I wish more young people would take that route, to take the time to educate themselves on things that are important, and especially what's important to you. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up at?
I'm from Toronto, so that's the east coast of Canada. Depending on who you talk to, it's actually pretty central. And then when I was 17, I moved to Kingston, Ontario to do my degree in biochemistry at Queen's. And then I found a professor at Simon Fraser University that I wanted to work with. So that's why I'm on the West Coast now.
So you're especially now, because Canada is more of a socialist environment on top of everything else. So it's a little bit different. So when you're looking and you're working this movement, what would you say, in your opinion, what is the number one thing that is misunderstood by most of the, let's say, the millennial generation? And what is the one thing you think they should all know to give them the best shot at an education?
Oh, well, I can answer what is the most misunderstood, and that would definitely be universal healthcare. Canadians just love their universal healthcare. I mean, I remember the early days of Facebook where there was this group called, like, you Americans think you're so good. Well, our healthcare is for free. Well, it's not exactly free. Someone's paying for it. And the quality is actually not as good as it could be. As far as being able to, what's the one thing that they would need to be educated? I'm not really sure. I mean, I just try to get people to see the libertarian slant of whatever they're interested in. So whether that's business or philosophy or history. Yeah.
No, that's great. So now, are you from the land you are from? Obviously, Canada is famous for the natural resources, gold and oil and things like that. So are you, because of your economic views, are you a believer that the dollar should be backed by gold or some sort of hard asset to trade against? Or do you feel that the way they trade now, which is just paper assets or fiat currencies, is the best way to go?
Money absolutely should be backed by something physical that you can physically see. I mean, if you're just printing money like we are today, the value is going to fluctuate no matter what.
Yeah, right. The value of but also the value does fluctuate in a hard asset as well, does it not? I mean, you know, we see gold, it trades and it goes up and down, and you know, now it's down low towards its lower end. But okay, so we want to learn about the Libertarian Party, and we want to learn about what libertarianism is. And is this, now obviously this is more new to a lot of people, but how long has there been the Libertarian Party around, or the libertarian views? In your eyes, you have the history of libertarians?
Oh man. As far as libertarianism, like little L, the philosophy, it goes back to people like David Hume, John Locke, people like that, the founders of the Constitution. In terms of the Libertarian Party in Canada, they've been active since the 70s, around there. They had their peak in 88. They had 88 candidates in 1988, and then it kind of dwindled since then, but there's been a recent resurgence, which I'm really excited about.
And I'm excited too, because I'm glad that, you know, we get to spend some time together, because, you know, it's not every day that I get to talk to somebody who, you know, has views, but your views are really, again, and I love this part, is the education versus you have to think my way or you're wrong. And I believe that is the right way. You know, as you may or may not know, you know, political discussions usually don't end up well, usually, because everybody's so set upon their way of thinking and they don't think anybody can think anything else. But I think it's refreshing that you can believe in what you believe in, and yet allow other people to have their beliefs and not look down upon that, because I think that's a big feather in your cap, as they say. So you're on your way to Grand Rapids, and where does the end of the summer bring you? Where does this libertarian tour take you to, and where will you end up at?
So you can find all the stops on my blog, liz.liberty.me, but it'll take me to some places such as LA, San Diego, Philly. I'll be in Philly for quite a while. I'm ending in Calgary, Alberta, actually, so in Canada. I also work with the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. I advocate basically for smaller government, less waste of taxpayers' money. Yeah, that's where it takes me to the end.
That's awesome. Liz Halaghi, thank you so much. Liz from liberty.me, and you can check out her blog. And before you say goodbye, give us your blog one more time.
Yep, that's liz.liberty.me. And you can also find me on Twitter. That's at Liz AEJ. And also Instagram, it's existentialism, but with a Z, because get it, it's my name.
Awesome. Liz, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
And that was Liz Holowagi from Liberty.me, the Libertarian Movement. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. A lot of great articles, a lot of things up there for you. Plus, the new Bubba Report is out, and you need to get your copy now. It's the best $99 a year you'll ever spend, giving you great insight into market movement. We're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
Margie said... Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, I was having breakfast this morning and had looked at the milk carton, and I found that my long-lost friend, Angie Miles from CBOE-TV. What's up, Angie?
Oh, I'm back, baby.
You are back.
Thanks for having me on your show. I love your show. You know that.
Oh, yeah. It's great to have you on. So what have you been doing with yourself, my darling?
Still covering the options market for the Chicago Good Options Exchange. You can catch me every day at CBOETV.com. I'm talking about unusual options activity. I'm starting up a new show tomorrow at the Options Exchange all about the Russell. So we'll find out what's going on there. And I think a lot of retail, average Joe investors, like to trade and maybe buy the Russell. So that could be an interesting show for your audience.
Oh, that'd be great.
So catch me online.
That'd be great. So we got to tune in at CBOE TV and get Angie Miles. Now, how do they go? They go to CBOETV.com?
That's right.
And then
it's just that easy.
And then just put in Angie Miles, or it'll just pop up.
Yes, I'm right up there. You can click on my show, In the Money, ITM with Angela Miles, or the new Russell show, which will be coming out later in this session. So I hope you'll join me there.
Listen, maybe you'll have me on as a guest. I'll come on.
I would love. That's perfect. Why don't you come and be a guest on my new show sometime this month? That would be awesome. You know all about the Russell. This is working out already.
The Russell, I don't know anything about it. I don't know that the Russell's ETF is the IWM, and that it's RUT. I don't know anything about it. So, Angie, my darling, what?
You have to pull my leg.
So tell me what, you know, at last we talked, you were very bullish, and you loved the market, and you loved what was going on in the economy, and everything was great. Okay, so the markets are still near, you know, even though with a little sell-off, the markets are still near all-time highs. What's your thought process? What are you thinking about? What's your take of the overall market? First of all, what's your take of the market?
It sounds like I was kind of right, wasn't I?
I'm sorry?
It sounds like I was right about the market, first of all, that's a good thing, right?
You're always right.
Thank you. Not always, but thank you for that. I'm really watching for this jobs number. I think that's going to be a market mover. I think it's going to be a volatile trading day. Going into the jobs number, we saw a lot of traders reaching for protection. There were a lot of people out there buying puts in the options market, and that tends to be a signal that people want to cover themselves just in case. Now, you know, we also had the news out on Thursday about the IMF calling for the Fed to make a decision or hold on those rates until 2016. I think that kind of ruffled some feathers out there. But I think the jobs number is going to be something that really moves the market.
So do you think, are you content with the jobs that they have been creating?
As long as we're still above 200,000, I think we're doing fine, don't you?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of increasing, service and minimum wage jobs. I have yet to see. What I want to see is I want to see a wage increase, and I would love to see us cut into the participation rate, which is the lowest since 1976. So on that standpoint, no, I'm not very happy with the jobs, and I'm certainly not happy with the Federal Reserve, because now, because they didn't raise rates a couple of years ago and they had the shot, they really cannot raise rates now, because unfortunately we are the highest rate in the world by a long shot right now, which creates...
Isn't that crazy? That is so insane to me. It's just, how did this happen? But I know what you're saying about the jobs and people leaving, you know, the labor market, but I think there's a lot of people starting up their own companies right now. I think the entrepreneurs really smell success out there. I think there's a lot of opportunity, especially on the internet, and so much is opening up. I think there's a lot of possibility out there. I still believe in that. You have to just kind of look around you, but I do believe there's opportunities. There's a lot of open areas.
I could buy that for the millennials. I could buy that for the computer savvy. But what about the guys like me who don't know anything?
Right.
Okay. Who are uneducated and were, you know, machine operators or worked in factories and had good jobs because they paid good wages, right? Made good money, had good benefits. What does a guy like me do though in this market? There's not many opportunities for a guy like me.
You know, one thing that I would do, because I had this happen to me recently, I know it sounds trivial, but I think everybody's going to agree with me. Car repairs. Seriously, car repairs. I just spent like thousands fixing some little parts in my car, and I just think there's a lot of business out there because people hate taking their car to the dealership. Everybody knows you're getting ripped off. I think if there were more independent guys out there, I think that would really change what's going on even at the dealership. So I say, run car repairs. I think there's still some trades out there that are awfully good to have, you know, to learn about. So it's just all about how creative you are and what you make of it. If you always see it as just that glass half empty, you know, you're probably not going to see much opportunity out there. I'm just throwing this out. I was driving my car the other day, and I was thinking, I actually thought of a little invention. I won't mention on the air because I think it's a great idea. But there are things out there that still are yet to be invented that have nothing to do with the internet. The internet could just be the vehicle for promoting your product.
That is true. That's why Angie Miles, one of her inventions is the rose-colored glasses she always wears on the Bubba Show. Because she sees, you always get that positive spin and the positive view, which is great. I have no problem with it. So have you been following the political scene here recently?
Oh, you know, I'm not a fan about talking about politics.
I don't want to debate the issue with you. I don't believe in discussing politics on anybody because, of course, it always ends up with hurt feelings. But I do have one question for you. What is your opinion of Hillary Clinton, and not her as a candidate, but what is your opinion of any candidate? Forget about Hillary raising $2 billion to run for president.
Isn't it just unreal? I'm so sad that this is what we've come to in this nation. It's just, it costs so much to run for office these days. You know, I remember being back in college and a professor always said, the best people never run because they can't afford to. And that is an issue. I think we do need some sort of campaign finance reform. Can we talk about the market now?
Yeah, no, we can't. I don't talk about politics. I just wanted to talk about your opinion of the monies that everybody's raising. I mean, they're going to spend between everybody.
It's ridiculous. That's
maybe
my answer.
$10 billion. Okay,
it's
good.
Ridiculous. All right, so my brother actually ran for Congress, a few years ago, 5 years ago, and it just cost an unreal amount of money. I mean, it was just a congressional race, and it was, not good.
All right, let's go back to
Alibaba. What do you think about that stock?
I've been very, very confused by the Chinese market. You know, obviously, Bob, it isn't necessarily dictated by what goes on in the Chinese market. But, you know, we saw a couple of weeks ago, which I thought was interesting, a major jump up in the markets. And it was, you know, basically tied to the Chinese markets. And there was something going on. And of course, we saw that in Baidu and in Sina. Have you watched Sina lately, S-I-N-A?
I did not watch that one as much. I couldn't take my eyes off these gambling stocks. Positive news out of China with casinos, and all of a sudden these beaten down look like they were worth the stocks take off like crazy. Did you notice that in Las Vegas Sands and
actually,
resorts?
Well, wait a second. I actually recommended Las Vegas Sands on my service. I mean, not Las Vegas Sands. I did recommend Las Vegas Sands at 50. Okay, but better than that, I recommended Wynn at 98.
Ooh.
Okay, so you know, even though I'm a bear, I can still buy stuff, right? So I did actually do that. But my real question is so I'm concerned in China because you know a lot of that stuff has happened. You know, once they open the gateway between China and Hong Kong, and now you got these guys flying around, and they opened something like 39 million new accounts or something, some ridiculous number. So you're seeing a lot of flying, and we all know how the Chinese like to play and gamble a little bit, right? I mean, you know, just kind of what they do, which is why Vegas, you know, how many towns, you know, Vegas sets up a special thing for the Chinese New Year and the whole thing. But I mean, they've been pretty exciting. Are you a fan? Are you a big fan of Baba? Do you think it's a great company in going forward?
I think it has been one of the more fascinating trades this year. If you'll recall, back in March, everybody was waiting for this super rally to happen in Alibaba. It really never materialized the way traders thought it was going to be materializing. And then all of a sudden, it sold off. It just sold off. And now everybody's hot in again. So I would love to know what's behind that. I always have a bit of a what's the motivation factor to what I watch in the market. But I think it's been one of the more fascinating trades. And I fear for people who get caught on the wrong side of the trade. But at the same time, right now, the trend seems to be higher. I just don't know how much higher.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, first of all, forget about, you know, the Chinese ties or what's going on with that, right? I don't really care, right? I'm not going to discuss or worry about that part of it. But, I mean, the company itself seems to be as solid as can be, right? I mean, they seem to be fundamentally and financially extremely solid, yes? And when we come back after the break, we'll get Angie's answer to whether or not Baba is solid or not. But this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, it is the new month of June. And, you know, we start into the summer and we have the brand new Bubba report out for the month of June. And if you're not a part of it, you're making a mistake. This is one of the best composed pieces in the industry that is about teaching you and showing you and talking to you about the events that could drive the market and why. You've got Scott Chalady from the CME. You've got Keith Bliss from the NYSE. You've got the Badger, 35-year trader. You've got Bonnie Pittenger, 35-year real estate executive. And this is what we want you to see and what you want to have for $99 a year. You can't go wrong. This is The Bubba Show. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with more from our friend Angie Miles. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you, and we've got our friend Angie Miles. And Angie, you know, when we went to break, we said, is Bubba a fundamentally solid company? And your answer is...
I hope so. They had that little bit of a lawsuit talking about counterfeiting. Do you remember that not too long ago?
Yeah, I do. I do. That's a very common, you know, a very common
right.
thing that happens to, you know, a lot. And again, nothing against them. I'm not, you know, ridiculing or anything. I'm not accusing or saying anything, but it is something that is common in that industry. And, you know, listen, it's very common in Chicago, right? I mean, anytime you went to Maxwell Street,
sure.
that you could find all the counterfeits you wanted. And that's, you know, that's always a concern. Out of China, and I can go back to my own manufacturing days. You know, I used to manufacture shoes in China, and you know,
oh, wow.
I'd go to a warehouse and they would offer me a load of Nikes, okay, counterfeit.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
So, you know, I am worried. But what do you think? Do you like Baba? I mean, is it? I mean, you're a.
I think it's a trading vehicle.
Okay,
I do. I think if I was a smaller investor, I think I would maybe pick my point. I would make it as low as I wanted it to go with an entry point, and I would sit back and just watch it for a while. But I think for now it is a trading vehicle.
I don't know. Let me ask you this. If you were to pick Angie Miles, her red hot special, okay, because you cover the options, you understand it all. What is your number one stock right now that you'd want to buy for yourself?
Apple. Okay. I think it's a favorite of traders, which means they love the day in, day out. But I think long term, it's a hold. And I think as long as you can buy it and not look at it for quite a while, it's something that I would buy personally. Absolutely. But it is a trader favorite. It's just the day in, the day out could make you crazy if you just got it, because it does go up and down. But you have to buy it where you're comfortable owning it and just own it. I think the products are great. I love my iPad. I love my iPhone. Thinking about getting a Mac computer for the first time.
I think it's great. You know? I think they're a fabulous company. I mean, I agree with you there. I think it's a fabulous company. I think they do a great job. I think Tim Cook really did pick up just where Steve Jobs left off. I mean, everybody criticized him, but I think he's done a great job with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love their products. I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Mac itself, but only from a trader standpoint, because for traders, Macs are not very good, right? They don't have a lot of the functionality if you're trading, because they don't run a lot of the trading software.
Right.
But as far as, you know, using it for other things, I mean, it's other things. And the iPhone, I mean, I had an iPhone. I tried the Galaxy, and I had to go back to the iPhone. So I do like their phone. And, you know, the watch I wouldn't buy, but, you know, certainly I think people love it. And again, they are one of the best in the business. They're ingenious to what they do. So I can't take anything away from Apple. I do like it. I think probably here it's a little bit high in value, but I have no problem. If you were someone who wanted to buy it and hold it, I have no problem. Mm-hmm. And it is, as you said, it is one of the best trading vehicles, because it's in the top five of most liquid trades on the floor.
Yes. And right now, people are getting into position for this Worldwide Developers Conference coming up on Monday for Apple. So we'll start to hear these news headlines coming out, and we'll move the stock. And people want to be on the right side of the trade, they hope, or maybe taking advantage of some premium out there. Either way, likely to be a bit of a mover over the next couple of sessions or so. Apple, yes, definitely.
Oh, it's a great company. And let me ask a question now as well. I know we're running a little bit late, but you know, I got you, and it's so hard to get you that I'm not letting you go right now. What do you think about Facebook? I mean, that's also a great trading vehicle.
It is same kind of a similar story. You have to decide if you are a big Facebook fan. We had some news this week on Instagram doing ads. That was a cool little thing. Facebook has had a lot of options paper. In fact, it's right behind Apple. So we are seeing some unusual activity there, mostly to the call side, believers in the stock, people who want to go higher. So there you have it. The bulls are in Facebook right now.
Yeah, and I agree. I like Facebook, if you remember, and you know what a bear I am, but I like Facebook when it was 20. Okay, and I liked it all the way up, and then, you know, up in this level, I got, you know, I'm not quite so.
You know what I like? I like the people who bought it on the IPO day and thought that they had really made a big mistake and hung in there. I'm so proud of those people.
Right.
Because that was tough. You really had to have a stomach of steel, because there was so much negativity surrounding Facebook. And, you know, yes, it was a great buy at 19 and 20, but just to have that whole news headline, just craziness. It was mania after that IPO. And hang in there, and you're just fine.
Right. No, I mean, it's great. I mean, you know, again, I have no problem. Are you a Twitter fan?
I am a Twitter fan.
Are you a Twitter fan from the stock or from the Twitter part or both?
Okay. So Twitter is one of those stocks that we see moving around a lot on headlines. Some people want it at 35, or they think it's going to breach that 35 mark. On Thursday, there was an awful lot of call buying in the market. I mean, really just 3-1, because I don't know, maybe people are sensing it's going to go higher, even though there were some negative headlines. The stock was trying to trend higher. I think it's a tough trade. I do. I think it's it's one of the tougher trades out there. And there's so much M&A chatter that keeps poking up all the time. So I think it might be a stock that I would maybe hold a position in as a trading vehicle. I think some traders are very happy with it. It's just really been fluctuating and bouncing around, and I know you options guys just love that. But Twitter seems like a tougher trade to me.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I'm a fan of the product. I am. I'm a huge fan of the product.
It's not quite as liquid as, you know, Facebook, but it is good. Mm-hmm. And I use Twitter as well. And that's great. So, you're still bullish and you're bullish. I mean, listen, I'm bullish America, right? I just want to be Bubba for president.
We pull through everything. We do.
You're 100% correct. And Angie Miles, as always, you are wonderful to have on, and I missed you, and I hope you won't stay away so long next time.
My pleasure.
And that was Angie Miles. Check her out on CBOE TV, and she's got a new show coming up, and I'm going to come on her show, if she'll have me, and have some fun down there. And, you know, Angie is really great. She's got the picture. She's been in the industry for quite a while, but has had her own show for a number of years, and very, very well-rounded into the market, and is a true believer in the compounding of money and putting your money to work and not worrying about what happens till tomorrow, but more playing the long term. And, you know, we can't argue with that. I think that is something that a lot of investors miss out on overall, is the ability to stay in and stay with it. Of course, you know, here on the Bubba Show, we talk about protection all the time. And that's, you know, an important part of it. And I'm sure someday we'll break it down with Angie about the using options for protection and not the BS that you hear talked about on air, you know, on the pundits talking about buying cheap puts, which, of course, we continue to say that there is no such animal as cheap puts, but that understanding protection is more about the way you have to do things. And you know, as we move, you know, forward, and we continue to see the markets, you know, really just kind of whipping around and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what's next. And I think that is something that is interesting, and we'll talk about in the next couple of days. But tomorrow we've got coming up a great money manager from London that is going to stop by and spend the day with us. So be ready for that. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, and I think that it's important, if you want to be in the trading business or the investing business yourself, and you want to have the greatest understanding of how the business works and how are you going to become successful at it, then you need to sign up for the Bubba Report. The Bubba Report is simply this. It's a compilation of over 200 years of trading and investing experience, from Bonnie Pittenger in real estate to Keith Bliss from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, another trader, including Scott Chalady, been a trader in London as well as a trader at the CME. He's a dual citizen that has traded and executed orders at both exchanges. You've got myself, who has been doing this since 1981. And, you know, you've got the Badger, who's also been doing this since 1981. So you are, if you want to become better and be on top of your game, then isn't your future worth $99 a year to make you better? I leave that question to you as we close. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Hoare. It's been a great show and had a lot of fun. And look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow. This is the Bubba Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Let this old world
just spin around. Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.